Hope you're all having a good morning. Some better than others, obviously. Might have to separate you people over here. Yeah. Well, if you're visiting, welcome. We're really pleased that you're here with us. I hope that you get a lot out of your study this morning and the worship in a little bit. We also like to remind everyone and encourage you that if you're able to stay for the Lads to Leaders encouragement fellowship that we'll have afterwards, which I think is really important, and particularly for our youth. Before we get into our class this morning, I'd like to ask Brother Cooper, if you would, to lead us in an opening prayer. Thank you. Okay, last week we talked about which disease of the heart or issue that we have to face sometimes. Hatred. Okay, hatred. And what were some of the things that we talked about? Either what is hatred or what's the impact of hatred? How do we manage hatred? Just anything. Okay, it's from Satan. What's the opposite of hatred? Love. And where is love from? Love is from God, right? We're told in 1 John, you know, that God is love. We'll probably look at that verse today. What else? It can consume you, right? When you think about the impacts of hatred, it can absolutely consume you. And what happens when it consumes you? How effective are you? How focused are you on maybe other things? Right? It can shorten your life. It can have a physical impact on you. If you hold on to that hatred, right, or you let it get to the point of hatred,
you're focused on you, not on anything else.
You're focused on you, and you're not focused on the things that, you know, really you should be focused on, okay, which cripples us. Right? It doesn't allow us to be, doesn't allow us to reach our potential. Right? It doesn't allow us to reach our potential. And that's one of the things that we always need to think about. Go ahead. Yeah, it can distort our own perception, right? Who we are. When we think about Christianity, I mean, how important is it for us to live up to our potential? Do we all have the exact same potential? No, we don't. And we're told that, right? We all have different levels of talents, different levels. We have different talents, okay? So we're all going to be naturally good at different things. We can work hard at certain things and improve our skills, but naturally, we're all going to be good at different things. And we rely on different people, right, to be good at some things, right? Certainly in our house, there's things that Sandy is much better at than I am. And if she's not at her potential at that, then we all suffer, right? Because I can try to pick up the slack, but it's not going to be like her doing it, right? And it's the same in the church, is it not? And so we depend on each other to pull our weight and to pull our talents all the way through. And if some of us get consumed by hate or any of these things that we've talked about, jealousy or, you know, anger, not being willing to forgive, and we get wrapped up it lowers our potential, and it lowers the potential of this congregation to serve the Lord. So we need to consider that as we go through. It's certainly it's something that takes constant focus. I can tell you, you know, again, in the work that I do, that it's constant focus to try to help people stay focused and to realize their potential so that you get the most out of them and that they feel the most fulfilled. So this week, we're going to look at impatience. Okay? Impatience, being impatient. So what does that mean to you, to be impatient? What is impatience? What is it? Okay, it's not being patient. Things aren't going the way you want them to go. Okay. Not willing to wait. Okay, not willing to wait. All right, so an outcome, and we'll talk about this, one of the impacts of being impatient sometimes is that you're never satisfied. Because if you have a constant, more of an impatient type of a mindset, it's insatiable, right? So you can't feed it enough. Once you get that thing, you're looking for the next thing, and you're impatient for the next thing. Tom?
Lack of self-control.
Okay. So yes, it could be a lack of self-control, absolutely.
Many times you're so impatient that you push people you care about out of the way while you're rushing by them and you don't give proper attention to the other.
Okay, so you might not focus on the right things. You could push people you care about away. Okay, so you want to get to the end before it's time to get to the end. So we do this like every Christmas, right? Probably. Can you think of times when you have to either assemble something, put something together, etc., and you're just impatient? I don't want to take time to read anything. I don't want to take time to read the instructions. And you just do it. And you just go. And then to your point, sometimes when you get to the end, right, then it's the quality's not always there, right? The bike's missing one handlebar. You tell the kid it's the new trend. Just be cool with it. It's okay. It still rolls. It still pedals, you know. Okay, so sometimes some of us are really structured. Really structured. Okay? I mean, it has to go this way. And if it doesn't go this way, you get impatient because things aren't going your way. And sometimes we just need to chill out, right? I mean, it's not the end of the world. We just need to relax a little bit. Okay, sometimes people are called control freaks or... Right, I think that's what you're talking about, just as far as the structure. And structure is good, right? Structure has a place. Can't also just be one of these people who are just thinking about unicorns all the time and floating through the world, right? You have to get something done, and you need a plan. So there's a balance, right? There's a continuum here, and we need to strike the balance and know what that balance is. Okay, we're going to have lots of time. Well, not lots of time, but plenty of opportunity to talk about some of this. So... some of the more clinical, you know, definitions of being patient. So if you think of the opposite, it's you know, what is patience? It's, you know, bearing pains or trials calmly or without complaint. Okay, so bearing trials or pain calmly or without complaint. Not hasty or impetuous. able or willing to bear. Able or willing to bear. Even an example is being patient in enduring evil. Have you ever thought about that? Right? Being patient in enduring evil. We'll talk about that just a little bit. A lot of the words in the New Testament that are used around patience is steadfastness, endurance, perseverance, forbearance, and waiting. Okay, waiting. Yep. Learning how to listen. Listening is... Listening is a very underutilized skill. And when you're impatient, have you ever talked to someone who's impatient and you really had something important to talk to them about? How do you know they're impatient when you're talking to them? They don't hear what you're saying. They can't respond to what you're saying. They fidget. What are some of the other cues? They're not looking at you. They're checking their time. They're ready to go. And, you know, that's not helpful. Listening, part of it is just experiencing the world, right? Slowing down. Experience the moment. Just listen. Feel the bad, feel the good, and make some sense of it. Okay, let it in. Understand your environment more. Sometimes we're just so focused and driven in a particular way that we can't even take others along with us because we don't have time for them. And even when we're going to a good place, it's one of the biggest career derailers for individuals is pace. They pace so fast, and they can be really good, but they can't bring anyone along with them because they're not patient with people, and people can't keep up, right? And if you're bright and you got tons of energy and off you go, then you start thinking that people aren't as smart as you are, you don't have time for them, and you just do it yourself, right? You don't delegate, you don't bring anyone along. And in the church, that's not good either. So let's talk about that, actually. What could be the impacts or some of the impacts? If 50% of us are impatient all the time, what could be some of the impacts in the church? We can leave people behind, right? Because I just don't have time for you. You're not getting it. And you know what? I need it done now, and you're not getting it, so I'm not going to include you in this program, or I'm not going to let you do this or give you an opportunity to do that because I don't have time to help, right? Whenever you bring someone on new at work, if you've ever done that or you've been new at work, you can tell if your new boss is patient with you or if you're the boss, right, you think, oh, I'll do it, but I've got to invest so much time in this person to get them up to speed. I mean, it's just, you know, I just can't hardly stand to think about it, right? Because it's an investment. It's an investment. We have to invest in each other or we'll leave each other behind. What else? What are some other impacts? Okay. So if you're too impatient, does impatience really fit with the theme or the feel or what the stereotype in the world is of Christianity? I mean, when the world thinks about Christianity, I mean, they usually think about, you know, love, turning the other cheek, etc. And you would think that most people are going to think about somebody who's patient, kind. And if they don't feel that from us, then it could cause them not to either develop faith or it could cause them to lose their faith. Okay, so the Good Samaritan is an example of someone who would slow down enough and have patience. What are other impacts? Say more. Exactly. So a new Christian, right? Someone's a new Christian, and you know, just because somebody becomes a Christian and they get baptized doesn't mean that all of a sudden all of this just sinks in, right? And sometimes I think we have some of that concept. I mean, they know enough to become a Christian. The technical bar to become a Christian is not that high. Okay? It's not that high. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe He's the Son of God? You know, do you believe in the plan? Are you willing to confess His name? Are you willing to be baptized? Are you willing to repent and say, I don't even understand everything I'm doing wrong, but when I know I'm doing wrong, I'm going to do right from now on. Okay, I mean, the bar is actually, God doesn't set the bar. It's not at 15 feet that you've got to jump over. Right? There's a commitment there. It's serious. But that doesn't mean that you understand everything about the prophets. It doesn't mean you understand everything about, you know, the New Testament. And we have to be patient with individuals, right, to bring them along. That's right. People need to be taught. Any other thoughts on impacts in the church of impatience? Really? Well, I appreciate you sharing that. And I think most of us, we're going to talk about this in a few minutes. In one of the areas that we're impatient, we're going to talk about our families. Yes. Yeah, there's a lot of pressure. Harold, you're being very patient right now. I appreciate that. Yeah, so we're going to talk about that. I can't do group therapy though. And, I could, but I need more time. All right, so. We'll talk about this in a minute. Let's look at what the Bible says about patience, and then we'll come back to some therapy. So, look at 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1. Can someone read 5 through 11? 2 Peter 1, 5 through 11. Okay, thank you. So here, you know, this is often referred to as the Christian graces. But here's a list. And if you look in verses 5, 6, and 7, which part of 5, 6, and 7 is around, speaks to impatience or patience? Perseverance, right? To knowledge, self-control, to self-control, and to Tom's point, you can see how close self-control is to self-control, perseverance, right? And perseverance, godliness, right? To persevere. Look at Hebrews 12. I'm just going to skip some of this because I'm not going to. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. What's that say? Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Okay, thanks. So there it says, you know, let's set aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance. And that word endurance there is very, it's one of the ones that's used for patience, right? Let's run with endurance. It's a perseverance. And it's pushing through. And when we're patient, we're pushing through. We have an impulse. We have something that we want to do, something we want to focus on. And when you're patient, you're controlling that. You're pushing through what your natural instinct might be, right? Is to just move on, to be short, to do whatever. So there is an element, I think, to Tom's point, of self-control. Look at Romans 15. If we turn to Romans 15, in verse 5. Okay, if you look at verse 4, it says, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Right? Now may the God of what? Patience and comfort. So the Scriptures are patient and comfort. God is patience and comfort. May He grant you to be like-minded towards one another. So God is patient. Do we really think God is patient? I don't know. He struck a lot of people dead. Did a lot of things in the past, right? It doesn't feel very patient to me. Gave him plenty of warning, plenty of chances.
For him to be able to love unconditionally the way he does, is patient. Because being imperfect and sinning all the time, he has to have patience to endure with us every day.
Okay, so God is holy, right? What does it mean to be holy? Free from sin. Okay, he's pure. He's holy. And here is a God that's holy, and he has set himself up into a relationship and a desired relationship with man who is by himself not holy, unholy. Romans 3:23 says, for all have what? Sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are not perfect. We have bad thoughts. We do bad things. Even when we intend to do good things, we do bad things. Even out of good motives, we do bad things. And we even plan to do bad things sometimes. And you think about a God who is as pure as our God is, and His desire to have a relationship with us, think about over and over and over and over again the knowledge that He has about every person and how that comes back to Him, right? And how He feels about that. And think about the power that He has to stop that disappointment. We're told that God is what kind of a God? Lots of things, but jealous, right? He's a jealous God. And He wants that relationship, and He wants it in the right way. And when we go off and do our own thing, I mean, does that have no effect on God? When we go off and we sin, I mean, really, does He care? How do we know He cares? Because He'll take us right back when we repent. I mean, what has He done that demonstrates to us that He cares? He sent His Son, right, to die for us. You know, those are all kind of just words, right? Unless you really think about them. That's right. We're going to talk about that. He is long-suffering. And so God is patient. He is patient with us. Think how patient He is with you. Think about how patient your family is with you. Now, if you're sitting there thinking, totally, that you're just the bomb, and you're the one that's patient with all of them, trust me, they probably have more patience with you than you realize. Okay, if that's your mindset. So, just think about how patient even your family is or should be, even if they're not perfect in that regard with you. Think how much more that the Lord knows about you. That He lets, and He'll still have a relationship. He still looks for that relationship. Okay, so God is patient. If you look in 1 Peter real quick, I don't think I need to overly establish that God is patient, given that this world's still here. But 1 Peter 3:20, he talks about, if you look at 18, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also He went and preached to the spirits in prison." Verse 20. "Who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited." When? "In the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water." Okay. And then if you look in 2 Peter, if you flip over to 2 Peter 3:15, it says, "And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is what? It's salvation." Okay? It is salvation. "It's also our beloved brother Paul, according to his wisdom given to you, has written to you." And he goes on. Think about God's long-suffering in the day of Noah. So, He looked upon man, and when He looked upon man, how did He look upon man at that time? The flood. He was sorry He made man, and why? They were so sinful that their thoughts and everything were evil continually. Everything was evil about them. And how long did it take? How long did it take about for Noah to make the ark? It's about 100 years. Okay, 100 years. And God endured another 100 years of watching that mess and feeling that way. And what was the result? At the end of the day, what was the result of His waiting 100 years? 8 people were saved. He waited an extra 100 years, and those 8 people probably would have been okay 100 years before that. I mean, did Noah really have to make the ark? I mean, did that really have to be the plan? I mean, couldn't have God done something else? Couldn't he have just created a boat, or he could have just made them where they automatically float? Or there's a billion things he could have done. He could have had them hover above the earth, whatever he could have imagined, it could have happened. But he gave those people 100 years, because what was Noah doing during that time? He was preaching. And he gave those people 100 years when he really didn't have to, and he knew there wasn't going to be a different result. Right? And so that's forbearance. Okay, that's being patient. That's the patience of God. We know Christ is patient. I'm not going to go through that now just due to time, but we have lots of examples of where Christ was patient. Can you think of a couple? When was Christ patient? At the cross. Okay? At the cross. At one point he said, "Do you not know that I could call, 12 legions of angels to come?" You talk about forbearance. Have you ever been in a situation where you're in pain or you're in a bad situation that you'd like to be out of? But think if you actually had the power to remove yourself from that situation. See, a lot of the times, the only reason we suffer or we're patient is because we don't have a choice. It's not because we want to. It's because we're forced into it. I have no power. I don't have any options. I have to sit here and take it. And we call that patience. And sometimes it is. But think about when you're suffering wrong or suffering persecution and you have the power. Christ had the power to call 12 legions of angels. Did he need 12 legions? Probably a half an angel would have done it. Okay, one with one wing. So we like to, however we think about angels. But he had all kinds of power at his disposal and he didn't use it. He didn't use it for wrong. He didn't use it for selfishness. Okay, again, always thinking about the other person. Think about the time when we have the right to do something and we have the right to move it forward and we have the right to push. Just because you have the right or the capability, just because you have that capability, does that make it the right decision? We have a bigger responsibility than that, right? To think about, to step back and look at the bigger picture. What's right for the people? What's right for what's around us? Yeah, go ahead, Lulu.
Didn't McKnight used to always say, "You don't have a right to say everything you have a right to say."
That's right. That's self-control. All right, we see situations where Christ was patient with his disciples. He'd get frustrated with them a little bit, and he'd tell them the lesson over and over and over, and they still don't get it. Okay, that's about, and he'd tell them again. And then he'd tell them in a different way. And he'd show them again. Okay, and that's patience, example of patience. If you look, when we think about patience, somebody in the Old Testament, who do we think of? If you have the patience of who? Of Job. Talk about long suffering and forbearance. Okay, James chapter 5, verses 10 and 11 just references the patience of Job there. So let's think about where we need to be patient. We've talked about our homes a little bit, but let's talk about that a bit more. We can be impatient with our spouses. Okay. What's the impact of being impatient with your spouse? What's that? Well, they go at a slower pace, but let's we love you, Harold. So, but what's the impact on the relationship, the potential impact on the relationship between spouses? It puts a strain, right? Because you might think that you can't do anything right. After all, did you not pick this person? Right? And why did you pick this person? You picked this person because you love them. And when you love somebody, who do you want, you know, to think well of you? I mean, of all the people in the world, do you not want your spouse to think well of you? And do you not want them to, you know, appreciate who you are? And so if you get to the point of, I can't do anything right, they're always impatient with me, I can never do it right, I can never satisfy them, I don't do it fast enough, I don't do it good enough, I don't do it the way they want to do it, the way that they want it done, and they won't teach me, I've asked them to help me, but they don't have the patience to even teach me. Just think about the dynamic there. Brethren, that's a wedge. That can... Absolutely. So listen, we all have our natural tendencies, right? We need people who are go-getters. Okay? And we need people who can slow down and look at the big picture. But what we need to realize is that it's a relationship. And we need to understand the emotional impact that we can have on each other, even when we have great intentions. When we have great intentions. What about with our kids, as parents with our kids? Can we be impatient? What's the impact of being impatient with our children? You kill their self-esteem. Sometimes we forget they're kids. Right? They're kids. Now, I'm not one for just letting you, you know, hey, kids are kids and they're running around and they're jumping off the podium and all that stuff. That's not what I'm talking about, right? There's boundaries here. But sometimes we go so far. They're still kids, right? How mature were you really even at 18? You know, and we look at how we treat sometimes an 8-year-old. Sometimes we treat 8-year-olds like they're adults, or we expect them. Or 12-year-olds. And we think they know so much more than they actually do. They think they know so much more than they actually do. And we have to be really patient with them because we know that they don't know. Right? Those things, Donnie.
You know what we have to remember is that children are becoming adults. And when we have adults that are walking around still worthless, there are going to be people around them who are worthless behavior as well. I think sometimes we learn some of our kids have good manners.
We have to show those behaviors in the home. So don't think that, you know, we know this as parents, that how we interact with each other and how patient we are with each other, right, as spouses, the kids aren't watching and picking up on that as well. So we need to be patient in our homes. We need to be patient around soul winning. Right? Have you ever become impatient because you just can't get that person? You can't get them to understand what you understand? You can't get them to see things the way that you see things. And we have to be patient, right? We definitely need to be patient in soul winning. I was looking here. There's a few examples, but I'm not going to go over those. If people sense impatience, particularly on a subject when you're talking about the scriptures, they just shut down. You know, they don't need it. I mean, I don't have to buy what you're selling. And if you're selling it to me in a way that doesn't land right, because when you're patient with someone, it comes across as, I mean, do you think I'm stupid? Do you think that I can't process this? Do you think that my logic isn't right? Are you not willing to entertain? Do you not value me enough to actually listen to what I'm struggling with and where my head is? This is about leadership. Right? When you're bringing people to Christ, it's about leadership. And leadership isn't about beating people along the way. It's about support. It's about being patient. And you're patient when you understand the value. And sometimes we forget the value of things. Think about somebody you really, really, really love. Really, really, really love. And hopefully, you know, when you remind yourself of that, your patient levels go way up. Right? You're willing to be more patient because you value. Sometimes, you know, when we don't value, we just move ahead. Elders, right, are to be patient. And, you know, for that same reason, okay, to be able to win others over. And we're told to be patient towards all men in 1 Thessalonians 5. And that's really, really important. We're to be patient in our when we're tried. Sometimes we all come up against some hard times, right? There's some tough times. There's trials. We're told in James 1, 2 through 4, that the trials worketh patience. Okay. And we need to be patient through our trials. That's the forbearance. Why should I have to suffer? Why should I be uncomfortable? Who promised us a life of luxury? I mean, where did you get that idea? Really? I mean, we're in the richest country in the world. And, you know, we're all, regardless of where we are relative to each other, we're in pretty good standing from a worldly perspective. Right? And we still have trials. Sometimes that wealth brings trials. Right? But we need to be patient in our trials. We need to be patient in our prayer lives with God. Right? If He doesn't always answer. But the one I want to talk about for a moment, I'm going to run out of time again, is we need to be patient with ourselves. Okay, we need to be patient with ourselves. How can we not be patient with ourselves or impatient with ourselves? What are some things that we just might not have patience with ourselves? We get anxious, but over what? And what are things that we don't... What about overcoming sin? I mean, do you ever get tired? Of fighting the same thing over and over? Right? What about, you know, your tongue and the things that you say or how you say them? Do you ever get tired of always, your whole life, being quick to speak and saying the wrong thing and hurting somebody? And when you struggle with whatever it is over and over and over, right, what can that do to you? You give up. Right? It's like, I can't do this. Right? I can't do it. That's why patience is so important, even with ourselves, right? We have to give ourselves a chance. Galatians 6, 7 through 9 tells us not to be weary in what? In well-doing. Because if we don't faint, what? In due time, you're going to reap, right? It's going to work for you. It will work for you. If you don't faint, you don't give up. You don't give up on yourself. In Luke 4:13, there it's where Satan was tempting Christ and took him up on the mountain and all the other things. And then Christ finally, you know, told him, don't tempt the Lord your God, etc. And Satan left. And it said he left for what? For a season, for a more opportune time. Satan has all of the patience in the world. You know what? I don't get you today. That's fine. I'll get you tomorrow. You know, I know your route home. I can walk that sidewalk too. Right? And we have to have at least as much patience with ourselves and know that God has more patience with us and has the power to redeem us over that than Satan does. Okay? So we might talk about this just a little bit more. We'll close the patience one up next week and start our new topic. Thank you.